Now, just to really invite everybody, humble yourself, and get excited. Make yourself hungry to say, Father, inside your heart, give me something great. If you humble yourself, guess what He will do? He will show up and He will meet your needs, and you will know inside your heart, you will know exactly what it means. And I could be talking about Pluto, but inside your heart, you know that what I'm really talking about is your work, whatever. Our Father will be, He is the one that we want to be teaching you through His Son, Christ Jesus. If you humble yourself, He'll be inside you going, this is what this means. And with you, this is what this means. Just as a professor has the students reading a book, he sits over them and he goes, what does this say? And they read exactly what's in the book. And the professor says, this is how you apply it to what happened yesterday. Oh, isn't it great to have a professor in the house? Hey, professor, how do I apply this here? Oh, you just did that yesterday, Aaron. And a lot of it's humility. Now, sometimes I've been known to exaggerate. I'm a storyteller. But if somebody starts exaggerating, what can happen is you discredit everything. You know, somebody starts saying, oh, this happened or that happened or whatever you're going to say. And so we've got to be careful. But if I were to tell you that one of the fastest things that we have available to us is called a jet craft. A jet. It can travel approximately 500 miles an hour ground speed from coast to coast. You know how long it would take it if the United States go coast to coast? About 4 hours. So about the fastest thing that we really have, going about 500 miles an hour, approximately, could go a little bit faster than an aircraft, but a jet craft, this is what NASA says, it would take you 4 hours to go from here to here. That's the fastest thing humans have. So many Christian scientists go, if there is a creator, then let him explain this. Henry Ford could understand the Ford, but the Ford could not necessarily understand Henry, right? And here we have Fords going around. If there's really a Henry out there, then why do we have flat tires? There must not be a Henry. Yeah. Okay, so here's our Father. He looks at all this. What if I were to tell you I know something faster than a jetliner? What if I told you it traveled 700 million miles an hour? Would you think I'm exaggerating a little bit? 700 million. That's 700 miles an hour. 700 million miles an hour. Does that sound like an exaggeration? Right now, with such a statement, my whole teaching is possibly going to be affected, whether that's credible or not. And when you hear that, I've never heard that before. That sounds ridiculous. Do you know what 700 million miles an hour is? It's 186,000 miles a second. What can travel at 186,000 miles a second?
Light.
At the speed of light, you could lap our Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Now, when we're thinking about making the creator of the universe reconcile our understanding, what do we have that can go faster than 500 miles an hour? Not much. But his speed of light, which is just one of our references. And of course, man always thinks we have it figured out. You don't think there's anything faster than the speed of light? There might not be something, but when man gets so obtuse or cocky, our Father's going to create something else. He's always going to humble us. He's never going to make us independent of Him. 7.5 times, that's what happens. Isn't that interesting? And that is a quote, not from Wikipedia. That is from NASA. NASA says, you want to know what the speed of light is? 186,000 miles a second. So what's that? And they go, oh, okay, for you people who aren't scientists, these are called astrophysicists. That's approximately 700 million miles an hour. So if you want, do 186,000 miles a second times how many seconds there are in an hour, and then you'll get approximately 700 million. So you better have a big calculator. Isn't that interesting? You're going to go, wow, that sounds like a whopper. Now here's where we're getting into these things, perspectives. This whole teaching is about changing your perspective. Here's another thing. They're talking about the speed of light, 700 million miles an hour. Okay, so how do we understand things? So scientists, astrophysicists are trying to explain to us, regular people, what's out there. At the speed of light, the length of time it takes from light to go from Earth to the moon, remember, seven and a half laps on Earth, it takes 1.3 seconds at the speed of light. Okay? From Earth to the sun, it takes 8.3 minutes. Just because you know how far away the sun is. From the sun to Pluto, it takes 5 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow.
Now here's what's really important. We live in a galaxy that's called the Milky Way. Here's our galaxy. This is our galaxy. We need to zoom in on this a little bit. Our galaxy, not just our solar system. Our solar system is a part of this galaxy. The astrophysicists at NASA say, do you know how long it would take us to travel from here to here? You can't do miles. So what they've done is they've come up with a measuring stick, a bigger ruler. You know what the ruler is? It's called a light year. If you travel the speed of light, 700 million miles an hour, for 365 days. Okay? Do you know how long it would take a human to go from here to here? 100,000 years. 100,000 years at 700 million miles an hour is just the diameter of our galaxy. And here's our astrophysicist. If there's a creator out there, then how can you explain this? You know what? Sometimes when you don't understand the author, look at his resume.
Yeah.
You like that? How long has man been in existence? Approximately 6,000 years. Our existence, 6,000 years. 100,000 years it takes us to go that far. Now, if you think that's impressive, what do you see what NASA says next? That's our galaxy. Here at NASA, here right down here, NASA.gov. Here's the question. Ask an astrophysicist. We're studying our father, the creator of the universe. We show the kids, how big is Goliath if Goliath's down here and I'm Yahweh? No problem, Dave, we got him. How about the walls of Jericho? They'll fall down, okay? It's no big deal, right? Ephesians says you are seated in the heavens. And when your mountain was so big and daunting, take your place beside our Father. And his son was at his right hand in the heavens. Now look down at your mountain. It doesn't look so big anymore. I just broke my globe. Anyway, ask an astrophysicist, the Hubble telescope. The Hubble telescope site estimates that there are hundreds of billions of galaxies in the universe. A recent German supercomputer simulation estimates that the number may be as high as 700 billion galaxies. 700 billion galaxies. And here comes NASA answering it. And NASA's going to come back in, and what they're going to say is, back in 1999, here's Hubble Space Telescope, back then, we thought there's only 125 billion galaxies. They take us 100,000 years just across the diameter of our galaxy. Astrophysicists, what they know right now, there's approximately between 100 to 500 billion galaxies. A billion is 1,000 million. This is our father, and they'll go on, and NASA says we will continue to find more and more and more. What we used to think was a star, we are now finding out they're galaxies. What's so important about all this, guys? Because Genesis said all these things, all these galaxies, came out of our Father's mouth. Why did they come out of our Father's mouth? For you and for me. For the times and the seasons. When you don't think he's big enough for cancer or taxes or the IRS or the SEC, look at his resume. He can handle it. So there is changing perspectives, taking your place in the heavenlies. We're going to start off with Exodus, the 34th chapter.
Do you have anything to say with the time stamp?
He beat me. I don't even think he's.
She's not supposed to eat beans anymore.
Okay, so if.
Why would you say that to you? Oh, you're going to get it. Or not get it, I guess. Why would you say that to you?
We're going to read Exodus, the 34th chapter, page 119 of the Rotherham. If somebody would please read verse 28.
Okay.
29 or 28?
Verse 28.
So then he was there with Yahweh, 40 days and 40 nights. Bread did he not eat, and water did he not drink. And he wrote upon the tables the word of the covenant, the 10 words.
The 10 words. That'd be the 10 commandments, the 10 words. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. And if for anybody that's watching, you'll get so much more out of these teachings if you follow along your instruction manual. See where these things are. Read it, and our Father and our teacher, or Christ Jesus, will teach you even more. And I'll read this one. It's page 42 of the Rotherham, Genesis, the 12th chapter. It's really neat what Rotherham does here, because it says in verse 1, "And Yahweh said to Abram, Come, thou on my way, out of thy land and out of the place of thy birth, unto the house of thy father, unto the land that I will show thee." Almost every other translation says go. You can read the footnote, you go down here. That's why Rotherham believes this Hebrew word is come, because to go is to leave. And he was not leaving Yahweh. In fact, he was following Yahweh. Though this other translation says go, but he goes, no, he's not leaving Yahweh, he's actually following him. But here he is. Yahweh is asking Abraham to uproot. It's time to relocate, you know? Hebrews, the 11th chapter, page 231. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is just another part of what Abraham did. If you read what Rotherham said above Genesis chapter 12, it's really neat. You guys are turning to Hebrews. I'll read what he said above Genesis chapter 12. It said the Genesis of faith in the Father of the faithful. If you want to know about faith, look what Abram did. He left his home. Why? Samson gave up his ministry because he was lonely for Delilah. He gave up his ministry. You see people compromising because they're lonely. They have a need or something like that. Abram had a choice. What did he do? He followed our father. It was neat. You think it's easy to uproot? But not only did he leave his land and uproot, but look at this. It's in verse 8. By faith, being called, Abraham obeyed to come forth into a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance. And he came forth, not well knowing whether he was coming. He didn't know where he's going. So where are we going? I'm never going to tell you. Really? Oh, interesting, isn't it? Joshua, the 11th chapter. In page 246 in Rotherham. I remember the first time I read this, it was really... We understand that really religious people, they don't have any problems, right? They don't have any wrestling going on with their emotions or their feelings. I have no problems. That one guy said, I was talking about needing faith to do things. He goes, I don't need more faith to be obedient. I go, really? Do you come to prophesy? Well, that's not available. How convenient. But anyways, in Joshua, the 11th chapter, verse 21, and Joshua, which is actually pronounced Yahushua, and Yahushua came at the time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, and from Hebron, from Debir to the Anab, and from the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel, with their cities, did Yahushua devote them to destruction. There was left remaining none of the Anakim, the land of the sons of Israel, save only in Gaza and Gath and Ashdod did some remain. So Yahushua took the whole land according to all that Yahweh had spoken to him, and Yahushua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their proportions. And it's pronounced Israel like with a Y. By their tribe. So here's Yahushua dividing the land. And what I like about this is get a mind picture of a will in the Last Testament. And unto so and so, I give you my, and there's that Cox, or it was DirecTV or whatever. Unto so and so, unto the land of Ephraim, you get this land. And okay, to so and so, they get this. And Caleb gets this, and they get this. And what's really interesting about the division of the land is verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 14. So all the land being divided, think of like a will. So-and-so gets my car and my Lexus, and so-and-so gets my land in Tahoe. And okay, that's what they get. Okay, that's interesting. So what do we get? And it gets to verse 14. Howbeit, unto the tribe of Levi gave he no inheritance. The altar flames of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, are his inheritance as he spoke unto him. You can imagine the Levite sons, they're like 7-8 years old. They got this land. They got this land. Caleb got with his Anakin heart. I don't know if I want to fight them, but that's the best land, right? What did we get? No land? Hold on a second here. We got altar plans? I thought we were his priest. I thought we were doing all the work. Interesting. Did we skip over to verse 32? These are the portions which Moses gave for an inheritance to the wasteland of Moab, unto the Jordan by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, he was their inheritance as he spoke with them. You can imagine the will's given. You get my car, you get my land in Tahoe, you get the ski palace, and what you get is the memory of me. Thanks. Well, okay. What's going on here? This whole teaching about changing our perspective. All of us have a fight inside of us. We have an old man, we have a new man. And our feelings and our emotions, our father, we have to confront those things. Because all of us have these feelings and emotions that if I just have this, then I'll be complete. And if you feel already complete, you'll look at somebody else and they'll go, I need this special purpose or something. I need this. And then you start thinking, wow, what do I really need? You will start looking for what you really need. And maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a house. And I'll just go, once I get that, then I'll be satisfied. But what's really neat is, if we look at the scriptures, did it look like Moses was receiving something when he went up a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water? It seemed very boring to me. What'd you do up there? I wouldn't want to camp for 40 days in a tent. Let alone be on a mountain 40 days and 40 nights with no food. What are you going to do? I'd be so bored. Or Abraham, you're going to uproot us. And here's Abram talking to Sarai. We're being uprooted and relocated. Oh, great. Do you think it felt like they were gaining? No. It didn't feel like they were gaining. Do you think Levi, the tribe of Levi, felt they were gaining more inheritance than the rest of them? No, I bet you there are a lot of fathers that are teaching their sons, actually, we inherited more than all of them. Their feelings and their emotions. What do we feel? What do we need? What do we miss? And you'll see it. What's kind of neat is because there's that song on Bruce Almighty, there's a God-shaped hole in all of us that only he can fill. That Elvis Presley thought if he obtained this, this, and this, this, then he'll be satisfied. He ended up committing suicide. Marilyn Monroe, the peak, here is all I need is this, this, and this, and then I'll be satisfied. She committed suicide, arguably. You see people on MTV, all you got to do is get this, and then you'll be satisfied. And guess what? None of them are satisfied. What do we really need? What is the only thing you really, really need? And so that's what this whole teaching is about. What do you really need? Because if we look at the scriptures, all we ever really need is one thing. What did Moses need? He needed our Father, Yahweh. That's all he needed. Because Jesus Christ was the image of Yahweh. It was his son, right? And as long as they were with Jesus Christ, what happened? Did they have food?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have protection? Did they have shelter? Yeah. Yeah, as long as we got the son of the Elohim, Yehoshua Mashiach or Christ Jesus with us, we got all we need, right? Well, there's a real problem because guess what? Before he floated away on a cloud, he sat there and he breathed on them. Receive ye Ruach Kadesh, or Holy Spirit. The Comforter is coming. Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the Comforter that's coming. The promise. You'll be baptized with power. I baptize with water, but you'll be baptized with power. So don't leave. That's the book of Acts. They got baptized with power. What would happen in the meantime when Jesus Christ was floating away on the cloud? Do you think they felt like they're being left alone again?
Mm-hmm.
I'm all alone here, all by ourselves. We're so helpless. We sort of look back and go, what do we really need? Think about yourself. What is missing? Is it a job? Is it a spouse? Is it a child? Is it health? Whatever it is, and what's really neat is you don't have room for anything else until you are completely content with the one thing. Your emotions don't feel that way, but your emotions want you to sin, right? Don't know what you're... All you really need is Yahweh. And the only way Yahweh is through His Son, Christ Jesus. That's all you need. You don't need food. You don't need water. You don't need protection. That's it. And only when you realize that can you really receive a blessing with all the rest of these things. Now, that might sound like that might sound pretty big, but Jesus Christ taught that in Matthew 6:33. Because He said, "Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things." Read the verse before 33. Goes, don't worry about this and this and this and this and this and this. So He could, our Father can relate to all these needs and these feelings you have. You want, you have needs. You want your kids to go to Harvard. Do you want this or you want that? Yeah, He understands that. But He goes, you can't have those things until you realize this. Adam and Eve, they're the only two people on the planet. Do you think they felt lonely? That's silly, right? If everybody on the planet got wiped out and it was just you or one other person, you'd probably feel lonely, right? Who are you going to talk to? Oh. Hi. It's about us. Oh, yeah. That's right. Not just one day a week. Or once a month. Or Christmas and Easter. When do you want to talk? Oh, every day. There's a thing on Facebook today. Says, we check Facebook to see messages. To see what's new. And he goes, we should be checking our word to find out what our Father's sending us each day. But we say, well, once you realize those things, then you can inherit all the rest of these things. I'll turn back to Exodus, page 119. So here's Moses, page 119 in Genesis. So what is it that's missing? You know, it's really important. If you think that there's nothing missing in your life, our Father wants needs. He wants you to be dependent. Jen Brown sent a message that says, I thank you for dependence. My Father makes me dependent on Him, not independent. And if you can't find a dependency, sit there and think and go, what is lacking? Why? Because He wants to meet those godly needs. Then go to Him. And then, but here's what's neat, verse 29. And before we read, after Moses came down, for 40 days, no food, no water. Okay. That's a long time not to eat. That's a long time without a bath. He had no water. If you didn't bathe, it didn't say he didn't bathe. But okay, I'm just trying to think about this a little bit. It says when he came down from the mountain, and then I'm going to kind of sum some stuff up a little bit. Moses and the sons of Israel looked at him and they went, look what the cat drug in. Wow! It looks like you haven't eaten for 40 days or 40 nights or drank. You look dehydrated. You look like a prune. You look exhausted. Moses, you look like a corpse. Where have you been? Then Moses, oh, so I haven't eaten or drinking for 40 days. Is that what happened?
No.
Verse 29, and it came to pass that Moses came down from out of Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in the hand of Moses. When he came down out of the mount, that Moses knew not that his skin on his face shone through his having spoken with him. In verse 30, Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, and lo, the skin of his face shone, and they stood in awe and drawing near unto him. They're looking, where have you been? They weren't going, man, it looks like you really took one for the team there, Moses. Can we see that sometimes? Did that hurt? Did he come back exhausted, worn out? Oh, look at me. I just sacrificed so much for Yahweh. You know, Aaron, and then they probably wouldn't even believe that he didn't have food or water. Because what does the scripture say? He looked great. What is that, Botox, Moses? What's Botox? Your skin looks nice. When Moses went to sleep, he was. It says that he was fresh, he was green, his eyes had not dimmed. And Young's literal says he was moist. And another translation says he was green like a branch, not worn out. What does our Father say to John 10:10? Life and life more abundant. What is available? You don't have to let things break down. Daniel, page 844. Can we look at that and go, man, 40 days, no food, no water. Man, my skin looks so bad. I talked to a woman. I said, how do you take care of your skin? I mean, I don't know anything about skin. Your skin looks great. How old are you? She goes, I'm 78. I go, you look like you're 52. She goes, you got to moisturize your skin. You got to keep it hydrated. And by the way, for white people that like to go to the sun to get color, it dries it out. Because I always say, out of the sun to keep good skin. Now, where was Moses? In the elements. What do you think his skin would have naturally been like? Dehydrated prune, right? He didn't. So for any of you women out there that you want radiant skin, this is how you get it. 1995. Streets pay, listen, I'm just kidding. Here's how you get that skin. You want to glow? You want that radiance? We're going to show you how to glow. And how you're going to glow is we're going to focus on what really matters here. And as we focus on what really matters, then our Father starts sticking stuff in our pockets. He doesn't want to make us independent of Him. He wants to make us dependent upon Him. Daniel, the first chapter, page 844. Would somebody read 8 through 10, please?
But Daniel laid it upon his heart that he would not defile himself with the delicacies of the king, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore sought he of the ruler of the eunuch, that he might not defile himself. But although Yahweh had brought Daniel into loving kindness and tender compassion before the ruler of the eunuchs, yet said the ruler of the eunuchs unto Daniel, I do not fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your food and your drink. Oh, I do fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces more sad than those of the youths of your own age? So should you bring me under the penalty of mine own head unto the king.
The chief eunuch, and this was really neat about the grammatical inversion that you'll have in the Rotherham. It will show you what our father did, what's called a grammatical inversion, which is great. My father did a great teaching on it, but it said in verse 9, the grammatical inversion, but although Elohim or Yahweh had brought Daniel into loving kindness and tender compassion, this was asking way too much, Daniel. Why? I'm going to have my head cut off. What did Daniel say? He goes, I cannot eat something that's unclean. I can't eat these things. We do not want to eat them. And I had to explain it to somebody. I said, if you took me out of the Word and out of my ministry, I would wither and I die. Because without Father, I'm nothing. And here's Daniel going, without Yahweh, I am nothing. I'm not. We're Hebrew. We're a weak people. We're not that powerful. What makes us different, the reason why we're able to defeat Pharaoh in Egypt, was because we were obedient to our Father through Moses. And Daniel understood that. Daniel also would have been able to read back here, guys, that obedience is better than sacrifice. So many Christians want to get on their knees and sing a song, but they won't obey. What is Daniel doing? He wants to be obedient. Why? Because our Father is in the room. He's watching you. He's watching me. He's here. And Daniel understood that. My Father, the creator of the whole universe, is in the room. He created all this, and he wants to spend a day with me. Oh, not a day, a lifetime. And Daniel said, let us not eat these things. And the chief eunuch says, we will die. He'll cut my head off. And Daniel comes back, and he says, I have a plan. Here's a plan. The plan is this. You give us just vegetables and water for 10 days. And if we look worse than all the rest of the kids that are taken in captivity, well then, we will eat whatever it is. Okay? But, if we look better, let us be obedient to our Elohim. And the chief eunuch says, 10 days. Yeah, 10 days. You understand it? That's it. Alright. You can imagine that if this eunuch is going to get his head cut off, then guess who else's head is going to be cut off? Probably Daniel's. You know, you got to know what you're messing around with. So what happened with just vegetables and water? We know that our Father told Noah, eat meat. We have to eat meat. Because the 9 essential amino acids. You can't just eat beans and stuff. What would happen to Daniel? This is called, people do what's called the Daniel fast. It was really neat. If you look up here in the Rotherham, see the word sad? There's a letter A. Explaining, he goes, why should the king see your faces more sad? Were they going to be really sad? They're not eating, drinking wine and eating pork and catfish and lobster? Read down here. It says, thin and sad looking through long fasting. That is what happens with a fast. Daniel wants a fast. He wouldn't call it the Daniel fast. And he goes, I didn't want him to look thin, sad-looking and long fasting. And I'm sad to say that I and a lot of Christians, we look thin, sad-looking through long fasting because we're choosing obedience. We're just choosing to obey. Oh me, I'm so obedient. I'll take it for you. I'll be a martyr. He didn't want you to be a martyr. Since Christ died so you could live. Live! Like Moses lived. Yeah, that's what he wants. He doesn't want us to be thin, sad looking and long fasting. He wants us to radiate. He wants us to be a walking infomercial. When people see you, they go, what are you taking? Your skin is glowing. You look youthful. Sarah was 9 years old and the king wanted to have sex with her. Why? She was good looking. Yes. That is what is available through the owner's manual. You don't think it's available? Read your instruction book. There's good stuff in here. And the more accurate translation you have, the more power you have to you. You know what's really neat about this is what happened after all this stuff. In verse 4, so then he hearkened unto them according to his word, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared more comely and fatter in flesh. They looked better and fatter in flesh than any of the youths who had eaten the delicacies of the king. How can you get younger looking skin and glow more? By not drinking water and not putting lotion on. Right here, guys. Happened with Daniel. What did Daniel look like? They look better. And you can imagine you to go, we're going to make everybody eat vegetables and waters. And Daniel's going to go, time out. You might lose your head with those guys. It's only because of our Elohim. The only reason that my life is so blessed is because I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the creator of the universe gave his son so that I could die for me. Now I live for him. And if I'm obedient, I radiate. You'll radiate. And so this is the key. You can shine like Moses. You won't look thin, long and fasting, but you will radiate. What it looks like that if you don't get this car, if you don't get this job, if you don't get this child, if you don't get this money, if you don't get this vacation, then I'm just never going to be complete. I just got to warm up the neighbors. Got to get these guys. They just got a Humvee in the boat. That's not it. It's not satisfaction. There's one way to satisfaction. Our Father put a God-shaped hole, an Elohim-shaped hole. It'd be a Y-shaped hole right in the center of you guys. It's inside of everybody. And there's only one thing that will fill it. And that's the creator of the universe, Yahweh. And there's only one way to do it. If you reject the Son, you reject Him. Anybody that rejects Jesus Christ is called Antichrist. That's 1 John. So we sit there and go, work on that. And then you can receive all the rest of these things. Be better looking. Radiate. Shine. Younger looking skin. Remove your corrective lenses. Yes. Get fatter. Whatever it is. Back then looking fatter must have been better. Whatever it is. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. And when you look at some of these ridiculous things, when our Father asks you to do something ridiculous that doesn't make any sense, who gets the glory? And as soon as you get cocky like me, I get cocky, guess what happens? It's like unplugging something. Yeah, it doesn't work very well unplugged, does it, Aaron? No, it doesn't. Plug it back in. Oh, okay. There's an extension cord hooked into me, and it goes into this. If you unplug it, then I just wear out really quickly. What's really neat, we'll turn to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. What's so neat about all these things, about Joseph? How could Joseph remain so obedient? He was not alone, guys. He might have lost his father temporarily and his brothers and sisters, but he was never alone. Not in the pit, he wasn't alone. And when the woman wanted to fornicate with him, he didn't say, how can I do this to my master? He said, how can I do this to Yahweh? How can I sin against him? That is a man that's thinking about, he's got a big perspective. That's how he did it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not going to the furnace alone. Okay, so we have hindsight. Shadrach, Meshach, we're not alone. He's in the room. We don't care what you say, O King Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow down. He's right here. I'm not going to bow down to some gold. He's right here. What happened? He sent a messenger, and there's a messenger walking. Daniel was not alone in the lion's den. We look at him, oh man, poor Daniel. Daniel's like, no man, you didn't see nothing yet. You wait. You just wait. You just wait. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Would somebody read 13 through 18?
Is it the 2nd chapter?
The 2nd Corinthians.
Oh, okay.
The 2nd Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3. Excuse me. Verse 13 through 18. I'll read it.
Okay. 13 through 18.
Yeah.
And are not just like Moses, who kept putting a veil upon his face, so that the sons of Israel should not look steadily upon unto the end of that which was to be done away. But their thoughts were turned unto stone. For until this very day, the same veil, upon the reading of the old covenant, abideth not to be removed, because in Christ it is to be done away. But until this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil upon their heart doth lie. Howbeit, whensoever he turneth unto the Lord, he taketh off the veil, and the Lord is the Spirit. Now, where the Spirit of one who is Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, receiving and reflecting the glory of the Lord, unto the same image are being transformed from glory into glory, even as from Spirit that is Lord. Even from a Spirit that is Lord.
This was so neat. It said, we are being in the process. And if you choose, you're being transformed every day. You are a new creation, but it's up to you to let the strip off the old man, as it says. Nail the old man to the cross. He's dead. He doesn't have to dictate me anymore. And we can be being transformed. You are to radiate like Moses. You are to shine like Moses faced it. And it says back in chapter 2, verse 15, if you look there real quick, or I'll just read it, that of Christ or of Mashiach, a grateful odor are we unto Yahweh. If we can be a grateful odor unto our Father, we can also be a stench. And you can see, we all know people that stink. And stinks, flies, you see people that walk in, we would be a grateful odor, and wherever we go, we should radiate. We should glow. People should say, what? Who are you? What is this? How do you do this? How do you understand these things? Daniel, how do you know these things? Joseph, how did you know about the famine? How did you understand about taking one-fifth of the 7 years? How did you know that? He's going to say, to be honest with you, there's nothing very special about Daniel or Joseph or Moses, except for one thing. There's one thing that they knew and they held on to. And as they satisfied, they sought the kingdom first. Everything else came around. People that are looking at you and I, and they're to want our life. They're to see the light coming out of us. They're to see the same face. They should see you and go, well, you put a veil over your face. I'm convicted of my sin or whatever, and they might not want to be around it, but at least they know where they can go. A hospital is well lit, and everybody knows I can go there for help. They should come to us, not just to be healed, but for salvation, for a prophecy. Come to prophesy. Words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And we are to unveil our face. And the neat thing is that if you are not glowing, if I am not glowing, I would really encourage, and by the way, if there's things on here that pose questions, if you disagree, it's okay to disagree. It is. Iron sharpens iron. So if there's somebody disagree, contact us. It'd be great. We love it. But it says, but if you're not reflecting the light like Moses, which is most of us Christians, you know, you look stressed out, Aaron. You don't know what I got to deal with. I got to manage all this. You look really stressed out. You look like a black hole. You know, wherever you go, you're bad mood. You're negative Nancy. You're stinking thinking. It's affecting everybody. Actually, we were having a nice party till you walked in. Really? Really? That means I'm letting the old man rule, and that I'm not focused on one thing. All you have to do to radiate is do what Moses did. He went up that mountain. He spent a long time for 40 days. He wasn't alone. He wasn't lonely. He was in the best company on the planet, on the universe. Who loves you and knows you better than them? Don't you like spending time with somebody that knows you, loves you, can relate? Can remind you of the funny story that happened to you? Who's got a better sense of humor than a creator, than duckbill platypus? Are you kidding me? He's got a great sense of humor. He will talk to you. He will build you up. Go spend time with him. And how you spend time with him? It's through his word. Meditate. Sing him a song. It says, praise ye Yah. Everything that has breath, give praise ye Yah. The last song, look at it. He wants you to sing for him. He wants you to spend time. And as you do these things, you will radiate. It's just a matter of time. You'll get charged up. I think some of these kids with these glow bracelets, they put on things that glow. Then they look, they're not glowing anymore. You're going to go, you got to put it by the light. Go charge it. I'm going to explain it to the kids. You got to charge it. When we're not glowing, then we need to go by the light also. so that we can radiate. People go, why are you glowing, Moses? And he'll say, I saw his glory. I saw the tail end of his glory, Aaron. Or his name was Ahron. And you can imagine Moses sitting down with Miriam and Aaron going, I have to see his glory. Or he goes, you cannot see my glory, so let me retract that. He goes, but I'll let you see my tail end. And what protected Moses? His hand. You can imagine Moses telling the story and Aaron and everybody going, that is incredible. I want to spend some time with him. Yeah. Yeah, so do I. And so should you. So it's our choice to be a grateful fragrance, to smell like a bouquet wherever we go. And if we have the one thing, we're focused on the one thing. It's not food, it's not money, it's not any of these things. We're saying we will be radiant. Spend more time with them every day, three times a day. You will glow, you will radiate, you will be a wonderful bouquet of flowers. Not a smelly thing that attracts flies, but you'll attract, I guess, be butterflies. So I'd like to I'll go ahead and give a prophecy. There's the person that's watching, I believe it's a woman, and she's very lonely. There's some things that are missing in your life. You've been very faithful, you've been hurt in the past, and it's very hard for you to trust. In fact, it's not easy for you to even open your heart up during prayer. You've been going through the motions, you are very obedient, you seek Him out in prayer every day, you open your Bible, and nobody knows anything is wrong except for you. He wants you to reveal your heart to Him. He wants you to weep in His lap. He wants you to tell Him your problems. Of course He knows this. He knows what your problems are, but He wants you to talk to Him. And as you talk to Him, and you explain what your problems are, just as a person that went to their doctor, He's going to start healing things. He's going to start removing things. And healing is going to happen, and you're going to radiate. And the relationship, right now, your life right now, it's like two people that have been married 50 years. Everybody, there's people that are married, and they're just roommates. They don't even necessarily get along anymore. And I believe that's where you are with Christ and our Father right now. You're just kind of a roommate. And He's going, I don't want that. He wants more from you. And it's going to start with you pouring out your heart about the disappointment and the things and why you're afraid to expose your heart. He's going to minister your heart. He's going to heal you. And you'll receive wonderful things if you trust Him.